Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Yeah, you're hearing all the 90s alternative rock because I'm hosting today. My name is Dan Schaefer. Calvin's helping me out with the great 90s alt rock playlist, playing my favorites, Nirvana, right now. So shout out to Calvin for the great tunes today. And we are joined here by our guest for this portion of the show, Ari Berman, the author of Minority Rule and a national voting rights correspondent at Mother Jones. But before the break, I was talking a little bit about how the dynamics of a presidential election are so different from a special election. And I think this folds into kind of the realignment that we're seeing in American politics these days, where it used to be that when there was a lower turnout election, that would usually benefit Republicans. And I think we saw this in a number of ways where they, you know, kind of had strict voter ID laws and limits to legal voting and gerrymandering and all of these different things to kind of depress turnout because that would help Republicans. Now, because so many of the especially highly educated voters who show up in election after election, special election, city council, school board, all up and down the ballot, have shifted much more significantly towards Democrats in recent years. So I think, you know, I was looking at the turnout numbers in Wisconsin, and in the presidential election last year, it was about 3.34 million people who voted in the presidential election. 2 years ago in the state Supreme Court race, which at the time was the record spending biggest state court race in history, that got to about 1.85 million voters turned out for that. So you are going to have, even if we have more than 2 million votes in this election, which I think is a realistic outcome given all the spending on this race, given all the attention that it's been getting. But there, that still means that more than a million voters who did vote in November are not going to vote tomorrow. So yeah. What do you think that realignment means for these lower turnout elections? And again, lower turnout is as compared to a presidential year, but lower turnout elections.
Yeah, it's not going to be a low turnout election. It's going to be a low turnout compared to a presidential election. It's going to be a pretty high turnout for a spring election. Yeah. And I would say it's going to be decided by what I would call moderate turnout voters, people who are not the most hardcore of the voters who are going to vote anyway, but not people that would only vote in a presidential election. It's going to be maybe more of like a midterm type electorate, people that pay some attention to politics but aren't glued to all the ins and outs. And it's those people that the campaigns are trying to attract. And the Crawford campaign and Democrats are hoping that Elon Musk might break through among voters if issues like abortion and voting rights and other issues don't break through. And clearly, Trump and Musk went all in on nationalizing the race because they felt like Trump supporters weren't going to show up without him on the ballot. And it's interesting, if you go back and look at the state Supreme Court contest, Republicans basically had a playbook for how to win these elections for many years, which is the business groups and the largest entities would run ads and support these candidates, Republican candidates, these conservative candidates that were tough on crime, that were close to, at the time, Scott Walker and that kind of agenda. They won a lot of elections. Democrats realized they needed a new playbook. They started recruiting more progressive women to run. They won 3 out of 4 elections to the court, and that's how they got a progressive majority. Conservatives realized they were losing in that playbook to people like Jill Karofsky and Rebecca Dowlin and Janet Protasiewicz. So Brad Schimmel very clearly tried to nationalize the race. That was his goal from the very beginning. He went to the inauguration. He begged big donors to get involved. He begged Musk to get involved. He knew that was the only way he was going to win. Otherwise, it was going to be the same kind of thing, that this was going to be a repeat of the past elections.
It seems like his thesis statement on the election, especially since November, has been Donald Trump won Wisconsin. If we get Donald Trump voters to vote in April the way they did in November, I'm going to win.
Yeah, which is true. But the problem is that Donald Trump barely won Wisconsin. So if Democrats get 1% more people than he does, they win the race. So, I mean, and not only that, but they feel like they're starting with an advantage, which is that they won the last state Supreme Court election by 11 points. Now, it's a different kind of electorate, but they still feel like we are more in that environment than we are in a presidential environment. Now, we don't know because there's so many unknowns with the amount of Musk money in here. If it wasn't for the Musk money, I would imagine that Susan Crawford would win this race pretty comfortably. But without given the fact that there has been so much money in, we don't know. Can't say that confidently right now, which is why, rather than sort of horse race predictions, I've been focused more on what Musk is trying to do here, the blueprint that he's trying to create. And it's been two things. One, the amount of money has been staggering. Then the way he's been spending the money, basically paying people to sign petitions and basically saying, I'm paying people to vote, and then pulling that back when he realizes that's illegal. That is what's so scary, those two things in combination, that he could just do this in every single election. And all these people that are sitting on the sidelines, they're saying, well, you know what, I wasn't going to vote, but hey, I want $100. I want $1 million. I'm going to cast a ballot thinking that I'm going to get in on some of this money. That's the wild card that really none of us can project right now.
Yeah, because I think part of what the whole giving the big checks away is to get people's attention. Right. Yeah. They're trying to get into people's news feeds, get into their heads, as you know, right before the polls close or the polls open, to have that thought in their mind about things. Because I think, as we talked about at the beginning of the segment, some of the low propensity voters, that's the our political science dork terminology for this, people who don't necessarily vote in every single election, they swung really hard for Trump in Wisconsin. Yeah. Last year. So I think this strategy that Elon is employing is trying to reach some of those people who might not necessarily be voting, that more than 1 million voters that we talked about who voted in the presidential election, who will not be voting in the spring election. I think the whole ball game right now is how each campaign is reaching that group of voters.
Yeah. And it's kind of the most crass thing possible, which is, okay, we're not even going to try to reach them on any kind of issues. We're just going to offer them money. Right. I mean, that is basically what Musk is doing. Crawford has to reach them based on issues. Right. And Musk is an issue because it's not just about Musk. It's about the buying of the state. And so she has a tougher job there, but at the same time, could it be a one-to-one thing? For every person Musk reaches with the pledge of $100, does another person say, I'm disgusted by this. This is so obviously corrupt and dirty. I was maybe going to vote. I might be pissed off at the Democrats in Washington, but I'm going to vote just because I don't like this. That's the thing that, based on the early voting data, both sides are doing a good job of getting their voters to the polls. Democrats are doing a slightly better job, and we don't know what the election day turnout is going to look like yet.
Yeah, a lot of big questions that will be answered by the voters here in Wisconsin tomorrow. Ari Berman, thank you so much for joining us here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you for your great work covering this race in Wisconsin. Go read his piece at Mother Jones. Ari, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks so much, Dan. Thanks for your great work, too.
All right, we will be back after the break with former Attorney General Eric Holder. Stick with us.